Well, you can't do it any better than that, can you? You really can't. And Tirza's going, I want to give you something. She's going off. This is your last Sunday for a while, right?
It is.
You're going off to grad school. Where?
Savannah, Georgia.
Savannah, Georgia. What are you going
to
do?
I'm going to go to physician's assistant.
It's going to be a PA. So, Tirza, thank you. Thanks for playing in this orchestra on Sunday. We'll miss you. But that means that your mom and dad just got to double up. While they, where you at, John? There he is up there. All right. I told him in the first service this morning, your mom is so good. She has, not only can she sing, but she's a great cook. Isn't that right, Mike? She cooks for us on Tuesday night. When John comes to go visiting, you always she sends us goodies to eat. But we love you. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll miss you. We'll see you at Christmas, though, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's a long way, though, isn't it? Long way in. Thanks. Wasn't that a great song? That was great. Thank you so much. Well, all right. I want to start this morning. One of our deacons gave me this, and I liked it a lot. Appreciate it a lot. I'm not going to tell you who it was. I have to protect the innocent of the guilty. A new group of male applicants had just arrived in heaven. St. Peter looked them over and ordered, "All men who are henpecked on earth, please step to the left. All those who are bosses in their own homes, step to the right." The line quickly formed to the left. Only one man stepped to the right. St. Peter looked at the frail little man standing by himself and inquired, "What makes you think you belong on that side?" Without hesitation, the meek little fellow explained, "This is where my wife told me to stand." Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Well, this is a brand new year. We were out at Chipper's last night, and Cindy made some great Brunswick stew. And we were talking, and I said, 2011 was a very special year in my life. Very special. How many of you knew that? That was a very special year. And my wife spoke up, and she said, "It sure was. You got a new car this year." Well, I got more than a new car, didn't I? I got a new family, too. But it's great to be part of this church family. If you have your Bible this morning, I want you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 17. And I want to talk to you this morning on this first Sunday in the new year about something that's very important, I think. And I call it follow through. Follow through. From Joshua chapter 17, we're going to begin reading in verse 12. The Bible says, "Yet the Manassites were not able to occupy these towns, for the Canaanites were determined to live in that region. However, when the Israelites grew stronger, they subjected the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not drive them out completely. The people of Joseph said to Joshua, 'Why have you given us only one allotment and one portion for an inheritance? We are a numerous people, and the Lord has blessed us abundantly.'" And the King James says, "And the Lord has blessed us hitherto." And then verse 15 says, "If you are so numerous, Joshua answered, "and if the hill country of Ephraim is too small for you, go up into the forest and clear land for yourselves there in the land of the Perizzites and the Rephaites." And the people of Joseph replied, "The hill country is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites who live in the plain have iron chariots, both those in Bashan and its settlements and those in the valley of Jezreel." But Joshua said to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, "You are numerous and very powerful. You will have not only one allotment, but the forested hill country as well. Clear it, and its farthest limits will be yours. And though the Canaanites have iron chariots, and though they are strong, you can drive them out." A thing that's very important, a principle that's very important in any sport is the principle of follow through. When I was 11 years old, my oldest brother-in-law moved to my school. I was a junior high student. I was seventh grade. And Roger came. He was a graduate of Mississippi State University. He graduated Jack at in the winter, and so he took a job, Rob, to finish out a semester for a coach who left. Anyway, he became my baseball coach. And he could see, Brother Joe, he could see that I was a southpaw, threw pitch left-handed, and he said, I'm going to make a pitch out of you. He had it in his mind, he's going to make a pitch out of me. And he showed me all the right moves. He showed me how to follow through. You know, I'll show y'all how to do it. If you don't know, I'll just show you. But, and this is true in any sport, you got to follow through. But he said, now what you want to do, you want to wind up this way. He showed me the pickoff move and, you know, everything. But anyway, he said, now what you want to do, you got to follow through. Get your steps, get them down right. And then when you deliver the ball, you're going to come down, you're going to be standing just like this. That's the position you want to be in so you can feel if that batter hits the ball back to you. Follow through. He said, you follow through. And so went to play the first game. And he said, I wasn't his brother-in-law then, but he said, son, is going to start the game. And we went to a place that later on I would teach school for 4.5 years. It would just happen that I'd have to make my debut right there, where I later on would go back and teach school and be a coach myself. But anyway, what I did, though, Ben, was I faced five batters my first start. Faced five batters, and I walked all of them. Everyone, thank God, skip for Mickey Harris. And Mickey Harris was a young man who was a student. We went through 12th grade of school together. Mickey was a good baseball player. He came in to relieve me, give me some relief. And he struck out the side. So I walked home 2 runs. We were down 2-0. But thank God, we came back in the bottom of that inning and got 3 runs. Before the rains came, it rained it out, but we won the game 3-2. I want to tell you that was my baseball debut. And after that, they put me on first base and left me there through high school. You know, I never pitched again. Never tried to do that. But I want to tell you though. But I had my follow through. I had that down pat, but I had no control. But I want to tell you that in life, follow through in all sports, bowling the same way. I'm a spot bowler. I love the bowl. Been in several bowling leagues through the years in the military. I love bowling, but you got to follow through. It's got to be done a certain way. And the same true in golf. You know your golf swing. We went out last week to staff. I made a challenge here, and 4 of our young men, Jackson and Will and Reeves and Seth, they thought they could take us, but we showed them what they were made out of. You know, we beat them pretty. We beat them 2 strokes. Took our church there. Had a great time playing golf. But if you play golf, you got to follow through. And the same is true in the Christian life. And it's a good thing to think about this morning as we begin a new year. You got to follow through. And we have here the story in Joshua 17 of the children of Israel. They come to the promised land and they get there, but they have a complaint. They come, when they're dividing up the land, the children of Manasseh come to Joshua, who's the leader, and they said, we don't have enough. And the blessings have stopped. And God, we are numerous people. God has blessed us abundantly. God has blessed us hitherto, the King James says. I know a lot of people like that. They had hitherto blessings. Maybe it was a revival 5 years ago. God blessed them. Hitherto, God got a hold of my heart in a revival meeting years ago. God got a hold of them. It could have been the D-Now weekend this past year. God got a hold of a lot of young people. It couldn't be some great mountaintop experience when people came to the Lord, came to know Him. But it seemed like the blessings had stopped. And they said, we've been limited. Our portion is limited now. And I'm not growing like I used to. I had a preacher years ago in Gulfport, Mississippi. He was a member of my church, a retired preacher, and Brother Jack was always talking about the hitherto blessings, what God did in Blount County, where he used to pastor 15 years before. All he could talk about, Jim, was what God did in Blount County, the hitherto blessings. And I mean, we were in a church where we reached 700 people in 700 additions in 3 years. God blessed our church in a great way. And God blessed this church in a great way. I tell you this, last thing I told Margaret I said, before you leave on Friday afternoon, I want to know how we did on the budget this year, how we do. Y'all want to know how we did? We're $152,000 over the budget. We are $242,000 underspent. We can pay a lot on the church debt too. God has blessed us exceedingly and abundantly. But I'm going to tell you, that's hitherto blessings. That was in 2011. Those are hitherto blessings. God has blessed us up till now. Hitherto blessings. My son was here over the weekend, and y'all would know he gave me a new necktie. You like that necktie? And this shirt, and then I have some Ole Miss cufflinks. He got Ole Miss cufflinks on underneath it. And he said, Daddy, what you got to do, I'm going to pull up the new coach, Ole Miss coach, on Facebook. How many of y'all know what Facebook is? Yes, the world knows now, but anyway, I'm coming into this age, and anyway, he showed the Facebook, the interview of the coach when he was introduced to the faculty and the players and all Ole Miss. And here's what Hugh Freeze said. He said, we can't rest on what we did yesterday. What we did in the past. Can't do that. It's the future. We've got to look to the future. I want to tell you, a lot of people stop growing. They come to Christ and get excited for a while, maybe a few months, a few years, and then they reach a stagnation point. They're not so excited anymore. They don't stay with it. Started good, made a good start, but they don't stay with it. They don't follow through. And this is what happened to Israel when they came to the promised land in there, Roger, to divide up the land. They said, we don't have enough. I'm going to give you three reasons why people fail to grow, why they stop growing. Number one is Israel's problem, and it may be your problem. It was they stopped growing because of a partial conquest. That's point number one, partial conquest. When they went into the land, God made it very plain through Joshua. He said, Canaanites living in that land. I think there were about eight tribes of them. The Jebusites and Hittites and Amorites and the Amalekites and all the kites. There's about six, eight of them. But they were all called Canaanites because they lived in the land of Canaan. And Joshua said, when you go in there, God said, you drive them out utterly, completely. Don't leave a single one left. Every one of them, drive them out. And the Bible says when they could have done it, they didn't do it. Bible says over in Joshua chapter 5, verse 1, it says, when they went in, that the hearts of their enemies fainted. They were hearts melted because of the fear of these people. They could have driven them out, but they didn't do it. God said, drive them out completely, and they didn't drive out the Canaanites. And so my first point is, they made only a partial conquest of the land. What they said was, we're a big tribe, Mike. We got a lot of people. We need room to grow. And Joshua said, hey, look, you got plenty of room. Plenty of room up there. You just drive out the Canaanites. You can't both live together, but you got plenty. God don't need to give you more. And see, a lot of people say in their life, God, I want more blessings. I want more blessings. I want more territory. I want new truth. Back 30 years ago or 40 years ago, it was a big move in our convention. Craig, you remember it. Mike does. The Spirit-filled life. Everybody wants a Spirit-filled life. I passed a church, had a lot of people, got off in talking in tongues. A lot of things good things. I wanted to be better people. Everybody wanted to go deeper. And I want to tell you this. The problem I had with it was, a lot of times, Joanne, the problem I had was that they were looking, running past the basics. There's some basics in the Christian life. You're not going to grow. God's not going to give you new territory and new truth until you do what He tells you to do. You take care of business. I wouldn't either, would you? I wouldn't give my kids anything. I said, you take care of what you got first. Amen. And God said the same thing. You take care of what you got. And God said, I believe that in the Christian life, there are some basic things. And one of them is Hebrews 10:25. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I tell you what, you got to show up. You just got to show up. And I tell you the greatest thing we need in this church, in any church, is for people to show up. Amen. And I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning, right? I'm preaching to the choir. But I want to say, show up. You got to vote with your feet. And you can't look past the base. There's some basic things. I've always have had people through the years tell me, man, we need a revival in our church. I've always had a few people that are desperate for revival. And I've been kind to tell them if they're so desperate for revival, then I ought to see them more than just once a week. I've been kind to not tell them that. But I want to tell you, show up. Forsake not this. And then the Bible says this over in Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 18 and 19. There's another verse that says this about Israel in 3:18-19. It says, and to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Let me tell you two things, disobedience and unbelief. That's two other things. They're basic things. You know, basic things. Disbelief and disobedience. God said through the prophet Samuel, he said to King Saul, to obey is better than to sacrifice. To obey. And I want to tell you something. You love the Lord today and I love Jesus in the measure that I obey him. And John 14:21 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them is he that loveth me. That's how much you love Jesus. As in relation to keeping his commandments. But a lot of us, we want to say, well, God said drive out the Canaanites. You know what Israel said? They said, we're going to make them our slaves. They're good taxpayers. They'll pay tribute. And they said, they'll be good servants. And when they could have drove them out, they wouldn't drive them out. I know people like that say, you know, I know this is something I can handle in my life. I know I got a little problem, this little thing, maybe this Canaanite in my life, but as a businessman or as a student or as a soldier, I got this Canaanite, but I can handle it. I can control it. A lot of people can't handle it. They can't control it. Whatever that Canaanite is in your life, it can't be a partial conquest. God said, get rid of it. I want you to get rid of it. And maybe there's some Canaanite in your life today. Then I want to say the second thing is, I believe we fail because we expect preferential treatment. I believe as people say, God, I know some things in my life, maybe some Canaanite, but God, I believe you'll use me like I am. You'll bless me anyway. I believe that people like that. And they said this. They said, Joshua is from the tribe of Ephraim. We're going to get a special blessing. We'll get that later. Because Joshua, the leader, is from the tribe of Ephraim. And Manasseh is the firstborn. And we expect special consideration. And Josh said this to him. Josh said, now, you can have all the land you want. All you got to do is go up and take it. All you got to do is go up and cut the trees down. But you know what they wanted, Chipper? They wanted land where they didn't require any work. They didn't want to cut trees down. And I tell you another reason we fail sometimes to grow spiritually is we're lazy. We're lazy. And I have people tell me, you know, and the Bible talks about men to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God in the last days. But a lot of times we're just lazy. And I was talking to one of our members not long ago, and I don't know if I can tell you, but we were talking about a couple that we both knew about, and this gentleman said to me, he said, I'll tell you what that guy needs. He needs a backbone. He just needs a backbone. And we need that in the Christian. I thought, man, we need that in the Christian life. And that means some discipline. And I want to say this. When Israel first came to the Jordan River, before they went into Jericho, went into the promised land, what they had to do at Jericho? Just marched around it. And it fell down. But that don't happen but one time. Thereafter, Phyllis, I believe they had to work. They had to take that country inch by inch, foot by foot, mile by mile. They had to go with the conquest. Nothing easy after that. And that, I think the same principle is true in our lives. I think when you come like that little girl came this morning, give your heart to Jesus, and you're full of life and full of joy. But it's going to be tough. It's tough. And somebody said the Christian life is not hard. It's impossible. But I want to tell you, it requires some work. And God's not going to give you preferential treatment. Then the third, last thing I want to say is, we fail sometimes to grow because we run from conflict. You know what they said to Joshua? They said, hey, look, we can't go up there and take it, Mike. They got iron chariots, and that place is full of trees. And Joshua said, you can go take it. You can do it. But two things you got need to remember. Now, two things I tell you, if you really want to go. Number one is, you got to get rid of harmless things. And this applies to Sunday too. You got to get rid of harmless things. Let me ask you this question. What's wrong with wood? They said, John, they said, we can't go up there because the trees up there. Full of trees and Canaanites too. But what's wrong with trees? Nothing wrong with trees unless it clutters up everything else. Nothing wrong with a lot of things in our life. There's nothing wrong with golf and nothing wrong with reading the newspaper. There's nothing wrong with my leisure time. Nothing wrong unless cluttering up your life with these other things don't leave you any time for God. No time to pray, no time to meditate, no time to study, no time to witness. If you're busy with all these, and let me say this to you. I run into people all the time and say, I just don't have time. I'm not going to ask for a hand show, but how many of y'all think you're busy? No, don't raise your hand. I know you do. We all do. We're all busy. But I want to tell you, there's not a soul listening to me here today that don't do everything they do exactly what they want to do. That's what I do. I do what I want to do. And you do what you want to do. And I'm going to tell you, some of us need to get rid of some harmless things. He said, go up and cut the trees down. You'll have room to move around. You'll have what you need. You can go get it. But you've got to get rid of some harmless things in your life. And then the second thing is, you can grow when you get rid of the harmful things. He said, the Canaanites live up there. But you can take them. God's with you. And you can do what God told you to do if you'll drive out those Canaanites. Maybe some people here today, some would say, they got some Canaanites in life. What I'm talking about is sin. Some things that are harmful, and you know that. Some issues in your life that you need to get rid of. Some things you need to lay on the altar. And you need to get rid of them. God's not going to let you, you're not going to grow. Until you do what God said to do, you can't grow anymore. God's not going to give you any more. Until you do what he said. And that is get rid of the harmless things. Things that are good in and of themselves. But they can clutter up your life. And Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 13. With the parable of the seed, the sower, and the soils. And he said, your life is so choked. That the word of God can't grow. The seed can't grow. You can clutter up your life. Get rid of the harmless things. And then number two, get rid of the harmful things. There may be some Canaanites you need to deal with today. I'll close this. My kids were here, as many of your kids were here. We had mine. We had them for 9 days. You love to see them come? Is that true or false? Somebody say amen. Amen. By the way, Mike, I appreciate your amen a while ago. Thank you, brother. Well, you're proud to see him come, proud to see him go, but we had them 9 days. I enjoyed every day of it. Enjoyed every one of them. I enjoyed the deer hunt with my oldest grandson. He has a dream. Who was it preached that I have a dream sermon? You all know, don't you? Well, Chance said, I have a dream. His dream, he said, I want to go to West Point. I want to be a doctor. I'm proud of him, Nate. I hope I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to support him, encourage him. I like a man who's got a dream. Everybody needs a dream. They need a vision. They need a horizon. You'll never win a victory unless you have a vision. His sights are pretty high. Amen. But I enjoyed taking the deer hunting on. Some of our men took him out here. We took him out outside the Pea River down there. And Went to hunting with him the other day. First deer hunt. Put him in there in a shooting house. I said, son, you'll never have a better chance to kill a deer. But I don't know why it is, but whenever I go fishing, there's always biting. Either the day, what? Before or the day after. And kind of like that when I go hunting, seemed like. They said, we saw 50-something deer down here the other day. But, you know, when I go, just seemed like. But anyway, we saw 14 turkeys out there. He really wanted to pop one of those turkeys. 12 hens and 2 gobblers. And, I mean, he's about 30 feet away, and we sitting up there and had a scope in his gun. But anyway, we didn't get one, but had a great time. First time he was ever on a deer hunt. And he called me last night and he said, Dad, Granddad, I went shooting some clay, what do you call them? Skeet, that's what it was. So I went shooting with Uncle Mark yesterday, and we shot skeet. Anyway, I had a great time. It was great fun to walk with our. Would somebody tell these folks it'd get better if they don't leave? I'm kidding. I'm only kidding. I do. That's a good line, isn't it? You know. I enjoyed climbing the trees with my granddaughters. I enjoyed everything. Most of it, anyway. But I tell you, the most enjoyable, meaningful time was my son came from Texas. I had one boy. And we were going out to Fort Rucker Wednesday afternoon. And Tim said to me, he looked over and we were talking about a lot of things. He said, Daddy, you know, I've tried to be a decent man. He said, I've never cheated on my wife. He said, I don't hang around bar rooms. I don't go to bar rooms and that kind of stuff. He said, I spend most of my spare time with my girls and with Jennifer. And he said, I have an accountability partner. We're getting ready for a marathon. But he said, one reason that I do that is he's my accountability partner. He said, but Daddy, I tell you what I want more than anything in my life. He said, I want a closer relationship to you. Been a preacher most all my life. Y'all have seen this. Preachers run around taking care of other people's kids. Don't take care of their own kid. Now, I'm not saying that. We've always had a good relationship, but not the deep relationship that he wanted. And I tell you what, you know what I did? I cried like a baby. And I said, son, I've been waiting all my life for you to say that. Been waiting on you to say that. And I said, the ball's in your corner, though. You know where I live. And I'm as close as a telephone. And see, and I talked about this last night. I think she made this statement. She said, we are their safety net. I am his safety net. He could have anything and everything I've got. Now, what's the parallel I want to draw? God, and I tell you, it meant everything to me. When they came back, when he got home to Texas the other night, Michael, and he called me up. And the last thing he said, they got home, got the plane. We told him to call, and when they got safely landed, he called me. And the last thing he said, Daddy, I love you. Love you, Dad. That means everything to a daddy. Now, what's the parallel? I believe she and God's waiting on some people at the beginning of this new year to say, God, I want a deeper relationship. I want an intimacy with you. I hadn't had in a long time, or maybe I never had. God just waiting on you. Ball's in your court. Man, I'd do anything. He can have anything I got, everything I got. And you know what? We have a heavenly Father like that. He's rich in houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands. We have a Heavenly Father like that. And He's waiting on us, waiting on you, waiting on me. Say, God, I want to follow through. Man, I don't want, if those Canaanites in the way, I'm going to get them out. I'll drive them out. Get the Canaanites out of my life. But I don't want to do a halfway thing. I'm not going to ask God for some more till I take care of what I got. Amen. Bow your heads right now, please. Father, thank you this morning for your word. It is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for speaking to me out of this passage. And I pray that you've spoken to our people this morning. Lord, maybe there's somebody here like little Kate that came this morning to confess her faith. Maybe there's a boy or girl, a man or woman. They need to do that thing, same thing. Say what Tim said to me. Jesus, I love you. God, you're waiting to hear that from all of us. And I pray if there's one not said that and not put their faith in the Son of God and accepted the gift of salvation, I pray that even today, on this first day of 2012, it'd be the day of salvation. I pray for those here who, Father, need to be part of a church family. God, they need to do it. Maybe you've spoken. I just pray, God, that that people would hear and obey. And maybe some need to make a new commitment and say, God, I want to obey the truth. I'm going to live by the Bible. I will make a new resolution. I will start over again. I thank you, Lord, that we live in the land of beginning again. We can begin again and again and again. But God, so right now in this moment of invitation, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. In Jesus' name, amen.